Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we looked it up. Actually, we didn't look it up. Joey from Yonkers looked it up as he was combing through Baseball Reference, going through every single game. It's the first time since 1996, which is a championship season for the New York Yankees, but first time since 1996 that both the Mets and the Yankees have combined lost 10 in a row, and it's actually 11 right now here in 2025. So I said it before, with the Yankees, Carlos Rodon, stopper spot, but you need some offense as well, and Clay Holmes against Spencer Strider was going to be a tough deal against Chris Sale last night. That's why the Tuesday night game was really, really frustrating for the Mets, but it's got to stop. It's got to stop now. 6 games for the Yankees, 5 for the Mets, because I think most Yankee fans, Yankee fans seem a little more annoyed than the Mets fan right now, but I'll tell you right now, you get swept down at Atlanta, all those bad thoughts, you're going to start itching and scratching yourself again, going, I can't believe this is happening. This is not supposed to happen in a Steve Cohen, Juan Soto world, and it did again.
Especially with the way that the Braves had been playing. And, you know, they got back to 500 and then they fell off again. And then you're thinking, okay, let's go down there and let's put the hammer down. But something happens when they go down to Atlanta. I don't know. It's one of those weird things. I had that problem when I went to Houston to play in the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Just a weird deal where you just don't ever feel comfortable. The other team, you know, you bring out the best in the other team, or the other team brings out the worst in you. So that's where the Mets are right now. And, you know, for both of these teams, and the reason we thought about this initial discussion point about when was the last time they had this long of a losing streak together was because Fliegelman asked me this morning at, you know, like 5:30, when was the last time, or has it there ever been a time since you've been here at WFAN since 2007 where both of these teams have gone on a losing streak together at the same time? And I could not remember any, and that's why that it's 1996, because it's never happened since then.
Yeah, and if they both teams lose again today and tonight, that'd be a full week of us opening shows with losses for them. And, of course, that would be then 13 straight between the two. So that's why we don't want to see some paltry numbers up there on CBS Sports Network with how bad offensively the team has been. And now you got these other teams, the Phillies and the Rays, creeping up, getting dangerously close to the division. Still a long way to go. You just don't want to. Like, I just wanted one time for a rocking chair type of division deal.
It's
not
going to happen.
Mets.
And you know just that. Never I know that. Just, you know, we're going to be, you know, in September, they're going to be 3 teams that are going to be close. We all know that. And it's really going to come down to which team fortifies themselves the best at the trade deadline. You know, the Florida Panthers acquired Brad Marchand from the Boston Bruins at the trade deadline for this year's Stanley Cup run. Thank God they got him, because he was such just an unstoppable force, especially in the playoffs for that team, because of all of, you know, the type of player he is, but all the experience he has. And so you got to hope that both of these teams acquire somebody along those lines where somebody's looking to dump a salary or something like that, and you'll eat it for a little bit, but hopefully that they have a just an incredible impact. I'm trying to think of the last guy that we could say had that kind of impact.
Yoenis Cespedes.
Right. Oh, well, and that was an accident, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. Wasn't supposed to be him. Supposed to be Carlos Gomez. Ended up being Cespedes. Next thing you know, they're in the World Series. Yeah. I mean, and I remember last year prior to, well, you had the Grimace thing and then things started turning around. But we had so many discussions. What do you do with Pete Alonso? Do you trade him at the trade deadline? Is it John Tavares and all those things? Well, that's sort of like where the Braves were at just a few days ago. Like, they're having discussions. Do they end up trading a guy like Chris Sale to trade deadline? That's how bad they had been. And the fact that the Mets have gone down there and done nothing but give them life is the thing that really pisses me off, because you just want to bury a team like that because they've been such a pain in the neck
for so long. So to blow the game on Tuesday, to come out and have nothing offensively against Sale on Wednesday, and to have the game start off with that Acuna home run, it's like, God, the house of horrors. You just can't get out of it. So just don't get swept. Get some momentum going into the Phillies series, and all will be forgiven, at least for a day.
But, you know, the other problem is, and we talked about this last week, we were saying, oh, what happens when, you know, Sean Manaea and Frankie Montas come back? I said, well, you know, the game usually takes care of things. And the game has taken care of things in terms of that situation, because now all of a sudden the Mets are reeling with starting pitching issues.
Yeah, they were right there. You know, they were 20
right
games
along.
Over 500, and now they're, well, I guess 19, 20, and now 16 games over 500 with the Phillies just a game back in the loss column.
So the high water mark was on the 12th. When they beat the Washington Nationals 4-3. That was the high watermark.
Almost then, blew that game, too.
Then they got swept by Tampa. They may get swept here by Atlanta. And then they got Philly. And the thing about this is, and then they have Atlanta again. Remember I was saying how this part of the schedule was going to be very vital and important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, like, when I look ahead on these schedules,
they
make fun of me.
Yeah, I do.
Because I don't, you know, usually, it's not a touch the money spot. It's just an awareness spot.
Yeah, I
just want to make you aware of what's happening.
Well, the reason I make funny is you miss their, you know, one game, one pitch.
I am. When you're playing the game, yeah, of course.
Looking ahead in the schedule.
When you got 162 game schedule, damn it. You got to really look at it and see, like, who you're playing, when you're playing them, and what kind of situation are they in.
Yeah.
And like you said, the Mets have given the Atlanta Braves life now all of a sudden.
And they'll give them more life at the end of sweeping them. So that's why this game is critical. It's also critical for their confidence getting things back together going into this weekend series against the Phillies, because the Phillies are going to be, I mean, and it's on the road. They've had their issues. Their fans have been all over them as well. You saw the Nick Castellanos situation with Rob Thompson. So it's not like things are all hunky-dory.
Well, they
there.
Also have a ton of injuries.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they're going to start smelling blood, too. They'll be like, wow, the Mets are limping in on a freaking six-game losing streak.
Okay, it's June. And last year, as you said, we were talking about the trade deadline. Then all of a sudden, they took off. And now it's, you know, now it's going to have to be, you know, they have to get it back on track now more than anything.
Let's go to Anthony, who's in Brooklyn. What's going on, Anthony?
Boomer, your jersey's going in the freezer.
Why Boomer's jersey?
Last Why week, my jersey?
Last week you said it, dog, these things tend to work out, which you're 100% right. That same day, Senga got the hamstring injury. And then the day after that, or 2 days later, we got another Met pitcher injury. And I'm sweating over here, and I think it's your fault.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. But, by you know, I don't play first base for the Mets. You know, I can actually throw to first base.
Yeah, true.
You know, if Pete Alonso would just be able to throw an easy ball over there, you wouldn't have this problem, regardless of what Kodai Senga says.
Yeah. And I know we're having fun with it, and Anthony's having fun with it. But, you know, the reason you said that was because of all the experience we have watching these baseball players get hurt. Not because you had some sort of premonition or decided to jinx the Mets. It's because we see this every year.
It's the same thing with the Yankees with Giancarlo Stanton coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a problem. How are we going to fit him into the lineup? And yeah, you know, listening to the game last night, are there issues for Paul Goldschmidt? Is he going to lose some at-bats? And he was one of your better players the first 6 weeks of the season. Yeah, he's going to lose some at-bats. I doubt Cody Bellinger is going to be taken out of the lineup because he's so good defensively. But, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it does, in some way, kind of upset any sort of momentum that some players may have. And now Goldschmidt may have to just realize that this is what the situation is now, and this is, we're going to have to work it around, and he's going to have to be accepting of it.
Yeah, you know, I've referenced a couple times back in December, I had a very nice night with Carlos Mendoza. It was an event that we had on Long Island, Bull Smith Tavern, and I got to sit there and interview him for over an hour in person. And we forged a friendship at that time, I believe, at least on my end.
And you and Mendy?
Yeah, me and Mendy. So
did you call him Mendy that night?
I did not. No, I did not call him Mendy.
What did you call him?
I called him Skip. So anyway, I said Skip at the end of this thing. I was like, listen, let me get that cell phone number of yours just in case, because I got a pulse on this whole thing. So
you got a pulse on this whole thing.
I have a pulse on this whole thing. I'd be like, listen, I said, Skip, you just got here, right? I know you've been with the Yankees, whatever. I've lived this my entire life. I'm in my 40s now. You know, I got pictures of me in Met uniforms when I'm 3 years old. So
just, I'm sure he wanted to hear this.
Yeah, so I said, listen, Skip, give me the phone number. I'll tell you when you need something, I'll tell you. So I've decided if they get swept by the Braves.
Time to make a phone call.
I'm calling for a team meeting. I'm texting them. I'm going to say, Mendy, let's go. Team meeting. That's what I'm going to do. So we don't want that. Team meeting worked last year. Probably you don't want to go to the well too many times. But if they get swept by the Braves going into this Philadelphia series, time for a team meeting.
I think it's time to throw the bats out of the bat rack, throw the helmets down the dugout, show people how uncomfortable you are, and make and remind them how well they are treated by their ownership.
Indeed.
They have to be the best treated team in the major leagues.
I mean,
when
if they're
you
not,
think about it,
they're not one, they're two.
I mean, they are right there. Who would be one?
Dodgers, maybe.
I mean, the Yankees, they treat their guys okay. But,
well, they don't give their family suites. So
that's right. That's what Soto well there. Juan Soto said, yeah, the Yankees aren't very nice to their families or
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, just really disrespectful, actually. We're kidding. Of course they're not. But, yeah, I guess Carlos Mendoza's scheduled to appear, not in person because they're going to be in Philadelphia. But
no, in person. Apparently, Carlos Mendoza, I guess they have to figure out, make it official, but the plan is, I guess, for him to be at Fanatics Fest early in the day and then go back to Philly. The game is at night.
Come on. They're really going to do that? So they're filming a Rico Bronya podcast, and you're going to make Carlos Mendoza come up from Philadelphia after a Friday night game, drive into the frickin' Javits Center, do an interview with Pete Hoffman and Evan Roberts, then drive back down to Philadelphia to manage
Maybe he's
the
got
team?
A chopper?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's Chopper City, baby.
Chopper spot?
Yeah,
to
100%.
Do the Rico Bronya?
I don't know. Maybe Fanatics is paying for it. I don't know.
Does the Javits have a helipad? Or has
it's right next to it.
The west side
it's
is right,
right behind
there.
It.
Wow. I gotta talk to Big Hurls about this.
Could you also imagine that interview?
Train.
If
you also
the
could
Mets
take the train.
Losing?
Yeah, he could take the train.
He's
but I mean,
not the Acela.
He's not taking the train.
The Acela's fine. Nobody will know who he is. Just don't wear a Met hat.
Okay, sure. Sure they won't. Of course
now
they will.
Now, going back down, that could be a problem because Met fans could be going to the game that night.
Right, think about how many people are probably going from Fanatics Fest to the game. They could be taking the train.
What time are they doing the Bronya podcast?
That I don't know. Evan mentioned on the Rico that it's tentatively scheduled to happen and early, but he didn't give a specific time.
If they lose, that
it's
tentatively
gotta be like,
becomes
it's gotta be like
dead.
10 o'clock in the morning or something.
You would think. But right, imagine if they lose tonight, they lose Friday.
Yeah, then Evan.
How could that happen?
Right.
Oh, that's
then,
canceled.
Yeah, Carlos Mendoza choppers in for Evan to go. Kidding me? He's not going to want any part of that.
Here's the list of the 8 things you did wrong just this week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That would be hell for him.
Give him the helmet.
Yeah.
Woo.
I'll text him and be like, listen, this Bronya thing, you don't need to do that. Skip.
Skip.
Hey, Skip, that whole thing Saturday that they probably didn't tell you about yet, forget about it.
Now that you're buddies.
You're good. You're good. Danny in Queens. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I usually call with something silly, but this is a serious point, and please don't make a mockery of this. I'm not going to be emotional.
Okay.
Juan Soto is never going to lead the Mets to a championship. This is going to be the longest 15 years. He'll have good seasons. He's a very good player. It's a great player. But he's not a leader. He's not going to be the guy, the driving force to drag the team and the guys across to the playoffs and the championship. He is this version, the updated version of Kevin McReynolds. He's good at baseball, and that's the only reason. He doesn't have the passion. I'm sorry. I just want it on record, but when he continues to do poorly, I want everybody in the world to know, because you guys are worldwide, that he is not a champion.
Hold on. Are you a Met or a Yankee fan?
I'm a Met fan. I'm a huge Met fan.
Okay.
I grew up in Queens. I grew up in Astoria, You know, 20 minutes from the stadium. I hold the best tailgate every year at the stadium in the parking lot, 70-plus family and friends.
He was on a World Series team already, so you can't say he's never going to be a champion.
Okay. No, with us. I'm talking about us.
Okay, all right.
I don't care what he did in the past. I don't care what Verlander and Scherzer and any of those other 100 guys we brought in that didn't help us get a championship. I only care about us. This 15 years is going to be arduous. It's just going to be painful. And I'm sorry. I really am. I'm not being emotional about this. I screamed my last scream about him the other day when he got doubled off first base. I am not going to give myself one more moment to be aggravated with his lack of baseball awareness. T-ball, hit ball, that's all he's good at.
Yeah, I mean, Danny, listen, and we'll remember this phone call. He kind of sounds like Frank the Tank if Frank was on the proper medication. You know, like he's saying the same things, but just calmly.
All right, so He's only played 73 games for the Mets.
Yeah, and Danny's done with him for the next 15 years.
Exactly. So this could be a Rafael Devers situation, unfolding right before our eyes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just, you know. But the point is that, yeah, happy, nice when there's a press conference and everybody announces the big deal and, you know, how he's taking care of Steve Cohen's taking care of my family and I have the private jet to take them to select games and I got this, that, and the other thing. And right now he looks like, I don't say he's a shell of himself, but he has not had, you know, the last week or so has not been great for him.
Overall, it's been very spotty. Yeah, but he was coming out of it and hitting the ball much better in June. He did have a home run in the game that, you know, that gave the Mets the lead, which they ended up blowing, as we know, on Tuesday night. I mean, it's the numbers don't look great. You can't sit here and say that he's going to be a bust for 15 years and it doesn't have the passion.
Like, I mean, they paid him $765 million not to get caught in a rundown. I mean, come on. They paid him $765 million.
So you're done with him, too, for the next 15 years?
I'm not done with him. Look, I wanted him 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I said, Jerry lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I wanted him. He was younger. He was hungrier, maybe. I don't know. I still think he's probably he's uber competitive. But, man, money does funny things to people.
Yeah, still too early for me to give up on the guy for the next 15 years.
$765 million. I say it again?
Yeah, I mean, as you've also said in the past, not my money. What do I care?
Well, I don't care, but and I know that there were bigger reasons why Steve Cohen had to sign him.
Yeah, I mean,
and it has to do with that whole Metropolitan Park and bringing down a casino license and everything else.
Oh, by the way, the fact that Citi Field has been packed this entire year
also pays off.
Okay, so we'll see. We can't be like it's June in other categories and then make definitive statements on guys in other categories. So
I'm just saying to you that my take on the thing initially was there's no player worth $765 million.
Okay.
My second take on that, it's his money. He could spend it any which way he wants it. And God bless Juan Soto for taking that money. But if taking that money is going to preclude the Mets from signing other free agents that would be just as attractive but for less money, then that's where the problem arises.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Some wonderful guests here in the studio saying hello, making a nice donation to the Boomer Esiason Foundation as we continue on this Thursday morning. CeeLo is going to give you another update and moment of the day. And if you're sick of hearing the Mets and Yankees highlights or lowlights, trust me, I am too. So hopefully we can get maybe a little something different. I don't know. Probably not. We know we're not going to play Aaron Boone. And by the way, you know, I heard you guys. I was driving to Bethpage Black on Tuesday, and nobody was explaining properly why I don't want to hear Aaron Boone. And
why don't you go ahead and clear that up for us then?
And Willie was completely misunderstanding the reason why we don't play him.
Maybe I've forgotten why we don't.
Well...
Jerry should know.
Yeah, and, you know, by the way, you didn't do a good job explaining it either.
Exactly.
The boys are away and the children will play.
Yeah, it was that's sort of what was going on. And Willie's like, well, what do you want him to say? You know, when he says something, he's honest, then you get on. If he says nothing, you get on. No, that's not. I totally understand you shouldn't be causing controversy with your comments. It's just that Aaron Boone, over the course of a 162-game season, when we're here 5 days a week for 4 hours with the way that he speaks.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
We did mention that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
It was all the whole thing. Willie was totally misunderstanding what you were saying.
If it wasn't 9:30, I'd go back and pull the audio and prove it to you.
I'll tell you
we
this.
We did. Jerry said they speak every day. And I said, Boone, he takes forever to get his thoughts out. He's got this weird thing.
And you have the forever questions. I mean, the thing is that, you know, Willie, you know, created a lot of controversy in here.
Did he?
I thought he did, yeah.
The Jerry thing?
Yeah, the whole Jerry thing and you.
There was no controversy until you got caught up on the way in which Jerry worded his answer to a question from a caller. I mean, you want to talk about splitting the atom. I mean, geez.
Nah.
Yeah.
I disagree because...
You're going to take Boomer's side?
No. Not now. I said what I said yesterday. It wasn't about... the Tuesday invite.
Yeah, I know.
It was about something else.
Yeah, due process.
Right. It was about that.
It was so deep. Yeah,
it's in my backyard
It went much deeper.
Now, he wants an invite.
I'm just pointing out.
He's pissed off.
When he comes to Jersey, he comes to due process. I literally live in the next town over. That's all I'm saying. You know, just throwing it out there.
That's unbelievable.
It is. I'm telling you. The entitlement, like the expectations, and the BS that I got to put up with.
I mean, how many grandchildren do you have now?
Six.
I got 15. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Entitlement. Did I show up for that round with Riscona a couple weeks ago looking entitled, or did I come ready to play?
No, you came ready to play.
You kicked some ass,
it was free.
Right?
Oh, and we won money.
It was free. Right, but I'm saying I didn't come mess around. I didn't come and drink my face off. I wasn't blasting music. I was there to play. I knew that you were going to be... The expectations were going to be that we were going to go and take these guys down in our match.
And that's
what we did.
Got to be locked in.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
That's what I always tell Gio. Just get locked in, man. That's all I care about. You know, let's just roll.
And I did, like I said yesterday, I was a mediator because I understood where Jerry was coming from. I also understood that when Boomer heard that, not knowing Jerry's feelings because they weren't properly communicated, how he could take it a certain way.
Jerry's feelings. Oh, God.
Well, I just want to know.
The funny part is, Jerry's the last guy around here who's ever in his feelings. I mean,
There's other things that Gio's brought to me that Jerry says to him, but he won't say it to me. It's like, oh, Jerry's feelings. Oh.
Well, I'm holding space for...
Oh, you're holding space.
Jerry and you to get on the same page.
Oh, my God. You know, what is Big Tongue doing in there now?
Now he's licking the board clean.
He's like, what do they say? He's got a look of bewilderment on his face.
Yeah, what does he not?
God. Oh, my exit goodness. Stage left.
Get out of here.
If you don't come in and bust into his show.
Yeah, never.
That's because you're out the door, but, you know.
Man, whose team are you on?
I'm just saying. Is it not a fact?
Well.
No?
First of all, Boomer always comes into our studio to give BT free stuff halfway through their open.
Right, and then I find out he makes fun of the clothes that I wear.
That's right.
Yes.
15 years ago.
By the way, this is a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah, he texted us yesterday saying that he believed he was referring to Chris Berman.
Nobody.
Boomer, and
oh, come on.
And not
Nobody
Boomer.
Nobody refers to
And I'm
Chris
pretty
Burns.
Sure it was time stamped like in the fall, you know, starting at 12 o'clock.
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Trying to weasel his way out of it. Take ownership. You know, hand up.
Hand up.
It's fine. He didn't like his clothes that day. Say, listen.
I don't care. You know, what is this? You're hurting my feelings now?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, come on.
Well, I'm going to hold some more space for you and BT.
Oh, God. I'm
just going to hold some space for you
guys.
I
can't handle it anymore around here.
Hold some space.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, okay.
That's an Yankees loss.
Craig, what else you got? All right, brought to you by Flag and Anthem. Real clothes for real life. Is this your tie? Well, I won't bore you with the baseball. We can move on to something else. That's fine. Let's go to the Giants, actually, because I wanted to get to this a little bit. They wrapped up mandatory minicamp, last on-field work until training camp. Jackson Dart drawing some favorable reviews for his work thus far. Seems to be settling in nicely as a pro and believes in the process and the plan for him as far as the team goes.
I just trust him.
they've had this blueprint and they've done it with different quarterbacks, and you've seen them succeed at the highest level. So I trust them. And, you know, for me, I'm just trying to be the most coachable player that I can.
And more than willing to put the work in.
I mean, quite honestly, this is like, you know, the most important thing to me. So being able to come to work every single day, I mean, I love it. You know, I love being around the facilities. So I feel like a lot of times, you know, I try to be just the last one to leave here.
There you go.
Oh, good, man. All saying all the right things. Love that.
Yes. Now, when he does get some downtime, some free time, sounds like he and Tommy DeVito have developed quite the bromance already.
Me and Jackson might go on Love Island. We've talked about it. So you really don't know what's about to happen.
Have you guys watched Love Island together?
We have. I can't say we do it every night. But from time to time, we get it off there. Yeah, we watch it. We talk about it.
So you got DeVito and Dart now joining Jalen Brunson from earlier this week as admitted Love Island junkies. I was not aware of this program until just a few days
ago.
Yeah,
I'm more of a Temptation Island guy.
Yes,
I think
I
that premise is better than Love Island. I have watched a season of Love Island. It takes forever. Gina and I watched one of them. I swear it was like, this was back when it was on CBS. It might have been 27 episodes long, like a single season. And it just goes on and on and on. I was like, I can't do another one of these. But yeah, I think it's on a different net. It's on Peacock now.
It's on
now
Peacock now.
So
yeah.
Yeah. But
season 7 apparently just got started.
Right. See, the Temptation Island thing to me, that's a great premise. You get these couples that are not sure if they want to be engaged any longer, or they're testing things out. You split the couples up. You throw them in villas with attractive singles, and you pump them full of alcohol. And film them and then show the footage to their significant other. That is genius. The Love Island and the singles, and they're talking, oh, I want to be with you. You want to be with me? Sleep in my bed. Blah. Like that's whatever. You know, that's fine.
So we get Dart and DeVito on Temptation Island then instead of Love Island?
Well, if they're in a relationship, they could be on Temptation. Oh. Well, they could be the singles, I guess.
Right.
They could be the singles.
Tommy DeVito should be on Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
That's where he should be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird, though.
Didn't they bring that back?
They did for a little bit, yeah. But, like, sometimes you see, like, they Love Island, they all sleep in the same giant bedroom with all these beds, you know? And
did they ever freak off?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think, like, one of those. But, no. But yeah, so, like, they'll get the couples in the beds together, and sometimes you get a little canoodling, you know?
Mm. Giant bedroom. How many people are we talking about in this giant bedroom?
I mean,
the
there's like 20 of them, maybe, sometimes.
Where do you even find a giant bedroom like that can fit
all that? Well, they build it. They build it, and it's old, you know,
TV.
Bed after
Come
bed
on,
after
man.
Bed, you know?
Hey, wasn't somebody else canoodling? Didn't you say that something this morning about somebody canoodling?
No, I don't think so, no. But you never, yeah, I mean, occasionally you see one of the couples, you know, maybe they're snapping one off.
Under the sheets. But, yeah.
Mm.
But there's like a special like honeymoon suite thing that they go into or something. I don't know, where they get the, you know, with the cameras off.
They get the round bed?
Yeah, with the cameras off. But sometimes they can't help themselves and, you know.
Things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, CJ Mosley's got more time for that because he's retiring. That's just come out with the last half hour or so. He tells CBS Sports. So wrapped up his career with the Jets, played in only 4 games last year. He calls it a career after time with the Ravens and the Jets. Travelers Championship underway from TPC River Highlands in the early going. Davis Riley is the leader at 3-under par. Now, Jordan Spieth's in the field. He made the cut at the U.S. Open last week, but wasn't much of a factor. So he was done with his Sunday round early, had to stick around and wait for the Schefflers. I guess they were traveling together to Connecticut based on what he said. So he decided to kill some time with his caddy at a nearby chain restaurant.
So I went to Buffalo Wild Wings with Michael, and so I didn't exactly eat or drink the way I normally do there. Most of the time it's very, very good, but sometimes post US Open I just kind of needed to throw a few back.
So there you go. He went to B-Dubs, got himself some beers and some wings, and
man of the people.
Sounds like he maybe had quite a few based on the finish to his answer here.
And then by yesterday, I was good. I'm still young enough that doesn't really bother me on the next day.
There you go. Makes sense.
Enjoy it now. son.
B-dubs in suburban Pittsburgh. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Quite the scene. He is a past winner of this event, as is Scheffler, as the reigning champ. The Panthers took over Elbow Room in Fort Lauderdale the day after repeating a Stanley Cup champ. So I don't know if you saw a great picture of Brad Marchand floating around out there. He's got the Corona squeezed between his side and his right elbow. And then in his right hand, he's double-fisting a Surfside and will look like a cup of coffee with his cigar sticking out of his mouth. So he was.
Yeah. Sounds like my man Gil D'Andrea.
Checking all the boxes.
There's always something in his mouth. It's either a drink, a cigar. He's talking on the phone. It's water. It's alcohol.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
It's a Zin. It's just every 5 seconds. He's either hitting a golf shot or his hand is going to his mouth. It's amazing. It's one of the great, great golfers and people to play with.
Having a grand old time. There you go. All right, let's get to moment of the day. Gio saw a TikTok video with, you said, over a million views, I think, claiming that dogs do this fake sneeze before they play together as a way of communicating that it's just play, not looking to fight.
Yeah.
So Gio asked Eddie if he'd ever heard of that before. He had, but hadn't experienced it. More familiar with the traditional dog signal.
The universal let's play is that when they just pat the ground in front of them with both paws.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
And that goes to other canine species, like to wolves and whatnot also.
Okay. So I'm going to try that. You got to try that today.
I've definitely done the...
Oh, you've done that?
The paw thing, absolutely.
You see, Eddie? All right, let's go. Come on, let's have a good
And
time.
They respond immediately.
Yeah. Now you got to
go and sneeze.
You got to go... I'm like thinking, like, luckily it's a sneeze and not a cough because.
But you know, there are big sneezes, like when they shake their head and they go.
There's that, but yeah. that's not a real sneeze. Okay. This is like a fake, sort of like almost a churn off.
Do they move the snout also, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Chernoff was being playful all those years.
Yeah.
I'm just messing around. You suck. That was the worst segment I ever heard. Just kidding. I'm playing around. Here are my paws.
Yeah.
Never thought of playful and Mark Chernoff in the same sentence before. But
Chernoff, the playful puppy. Let's write a children's book.
That's what he is now in retirement, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Not while he was here.
No. All right. Very good, CeeLo. We will see you tomorrow.
That's right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So, you know, Gee, we had a couple nice guests. They handed me a check for $8,200 from the Brooklyn Knights of Columbus.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, that was really amazing. And, you know, these are folks who lost a loved one to CF. And often Gunnar and I go to different fundraising events and we don't have to remind ourselves, but we do remind the people sometimes we talk to that the reason we are so steadfast in our support for this community is because so many families who have lost loved ones to CF stay engaged and still raise money in memory of their loved one. Mm. And so we meet a lot of parents like that. And you know, obviously two of those parents came in today and they've been fighting for the last, I think, 27 years. And I couldn't be more happy to be a part of this and to be a part of their life and them for giving us this very nice donation that will go a long way in helping bringing another person into this life for a CF patient through our IVF program.
Yeah, and listening to how they put together the billiards tournament and having people donate things and raffling off everything and everybody pitching in is just really, truly amazing to see. Never ceases to amaze me how much work people put in to raise money for the cause.
These are grassroots events, and those grassroots events mean the world to us, and certainly the Department of Sanitation Emerald Society also has a golf tournament in conjunction with all of these things that they're doing, and they are a part of our foundation. And again, I can't say thank you enough to those people out there that are still fighting, even though they may have lost a loved one to CF.
Rose in Fanwood, New Jersey. What's going on, Rose?
Well, congratulations, Boomer, on your foundation. Great work.
Thank you, Rose.
I'm calling today to just defend women as far as being able to parallel park. Having grown up in Brooklyn without a driveway and with a dad who was a great parallel parker, I am an excellent parallel parker, and just I felt I had to defend womankind.
You're like the, albino chimpanzee. You know, like there's like one. I mean, come on, Rose.
Yeah, but if you grew up in Brooklyn or Queens and you live like in row houses or something like that, she's exactly right. And you had to fight for those parking spots.
I understand. That's why I said not all women, but I mean, you get a suburban woman who grew up in suburbia.
Yes.
And you hand her an SUV and tell her to park in a spot. I mean, you might as well give them a Rubik's Cube. Come on. You know it. I know it. Don't care. It's the truth. There's a lot of things I don't do well. I've admitted that
and
many
times.
And you have
admitted that, yes.
There's a lot of things that Gina would prefer that I did more of, whatever it may be. I can't fix anything around the house, whatever it is. But as far as cutting down cardboard boxes and backing into parking spots,
you can handle that.
I think I've got a point.
Okay. Trust
me. Brian in Northport. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, guys. Yeah, Gio, I feel your pain with the parking. I got to watch my wife do like a 14-point turn to get out of our driveway. But that's not why I was calling. So I heard you guys talk about this reality show. What do you think about The Fan, like all three shows living in a house together with their wives for like a weekend? All three shows, including the producers, Al.
Oh,
imagine Al waking up in bed with BT's wife. Like, what would he do?
Brian, you always have. Your brain works in ways that I appreciate. I really do.
In a very weird way,
and
yes.
And it's great, and it's funny, and it's all these scenarios that you come up with. I mean, that would be hell. We would do it for content. They're doing something like that with Barstool, I think. It's like a summer house thing where they have some of their younger guys that are living in a house and some of the younger girls that they have working with them. But, I mean, that's like a HR nightmare.
I'm sure that there has to be a some sort of release.
Yeah, I would
that
imagine.
That they have to sign in order to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine.
If we did something like that?
Ugh. No, not us. I mean,
we're
too old for that crap.
Yeah. But the Barstool one, I'm probably watching.
I mean, if I could go to the bathroom, we're cleaning out the entire house.
Oh, God. Pat Boyle would be a good Love Island guy, I think.
I think he would be. And, you know, maybe Big Intern.
Big Intern. Yeah, those two. They'd be stars, no doubt.
All right, Jeff in Miller Place. Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, guys. This is Duty Calls Jeff from, you remember speaking to me a few months ago, the Pooper Scooper?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Jeff. How's it going, man?
Everything's going great. Anyway, I just wanted to... You're
still picking up that dog crap, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm actually in a yard in Patchogue right now.
Oh, so, nice. Awesome. Love Patchogue. Yeah. It's where my dad grew up.
Yeah, this is good. Thank you. So your impersonation of Evan, it's hilarious. It reminded me of something. It reminds me of Beaker from The Muppets. Remember him?
Yes. And, yeah, it's a little higher pitch, yes. But
it looks a little bit like him too, right? Beaker is always worked up about something net related, so I just thought I'd just share some random talk with you guys.
Yeah, Jeff, very good. And continue to pick up that dog poop for your business and do
Duty
a good
calls.
Job. Duty Calls, yes.
That's a great name.
It's very good. Yes, Jeff. So when I do the Evan voice with words, people say it sounds like Terrence and Phillip from South Park. You know,
yep. Like, I love baseball. You love baseball. Who loves baseball? Raise your hand.
But then when I do the no words, I could see I could be like Beaker. But that's what, you know. Hurley was in here, Big Hurls. You know, he does this thing that I just picked up on this the other day. I'm surprised I didn't earlier. He does the same Darren Mooji thing with his hands occasionally. You ever notice that?
The hand speaker, yeah.
But it pops up every so now. Like, he's like, the other day he goes, I was trying to get this guy here and this guy here and bring them together. I'm like, well, no. He's one fist here, one fist there, and he brings them together.
He's a hand talker.
And he's talking about Carlos Mendoza. But it's not all the time. It's not like I'm like an Italian hand talker. I'm moving my hands everywhere. But he'll just use talk about Mendoza. He's like, I think he's coming in, you know, like this, coming in. and then he's there, and then he's got to shoot back. He's just thumb going backwards.
Yes.
Like, I have a friend who is now, I've made fun of him so much for the hand talking, he now keeps his hands in his pockets when he speaks because he doesn't want to hear it anymore. And he actually, one time, I went to a hibachi restaurant, and I met him out afterwards, and he goes, how was hibachi? And he did like he was drumming, or yes. Like he was the hibachi chef. And I'm like, hey, man, like, I'm...
Yeah, well, I mean...
I'm not deaf.
I mean, do you really know a lot of hand talkers?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. More than I'd like. And there's Muji with his fists. Yeah, this is what Hurley was doing yesterday.
Exactly.
I want to get him here. I want to have the right fist here, or left fist here. I'm going to bring the fists together. That's what we're doing.
Then he's going to come to... via the train. And then he's going to leave out... Now that you have brought it to my attention, yes, I have seen it.
Yeah, now Hurley's going to, put his hands in his pockets.
Walking around with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, probably.
Fister.
Yeah, you know what? He is. He's a fister. He's a hand-talking fister. Puts his fists out when he hand-talks.
Yeah, he does.
And he's a right fist, left fist, fist together.
Fister.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.